All right. Okay, well, I guess we'll get to that in just a minute. For just a moment, guys, what we're going to do, just like we always do, we're going to have do some recognition. First, we'd like to invite all the leaders, the CMCs in the state, to step forward. We've got Mr. Doug Youngberg up in Layton. Guys, give him a hand. Miss Deanne DeBell in Park City, come on up. Having a great luncheons out there. Okay, we've got Mark and Leslie Udy in Salt Lake. And Mr. Scott Weaver in Logan. There we are. Maybe I'm forgetting that. Okay, and I'm actually up in the Provo marketplace right now. All right. Okay. First thing we want to do is, guys, we have something in the company. For anybody who's new, we have something that's called Players Club. So anybody who is Players Club 5 or 10, we want you guys to start working your way over here. Anybody who's Players Club 5 or 10, if you've got some new people here today, and they've gotten out and done a lot of work, and they're actually in Players Club, and they don't even know it, well, let them come up here and let us know about all the new people who are also in Players Club. Players Club, guys, with Players Club, we get car bonuses. For a new person, it can be as simply as just showing two people the information. Two people are getting started, and you're already eligible to start making a $300 a month car bonus if you do that consecutively for 12 months. They sent us on all expense paid vacations. In fact, we're actually going to be heading out to Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic in June. And, you know, that's really is just for Players Club 10. So if you're doing one a week, you are well qualified to be in Players Club, getting your car bonuses and going on all the free vacations and things. All right? Now we need this. You want to? My phone? Oh, okay. I couldn't hear myself talking, so I'm sorry about that. All right. Do you have an extra microphone besides this one? Okay. Guys, we're going to talk a lot about results, and these are the people who are out there getting the results and being consistent and consistent and getting the results that we really want to know that you're going to be making it in the company. There we go. Thanks. Okay, as you come across, let us know how long you've been in Players Club and when you got started, how long you've been in Players Club. And then come and we'd like to congratulate you. So come down the line and shake all the leaders' hands.
Hello, I'm Jason Burnert from Idaho Falls. And I guess this is my first month in Players Club 5.
And I'm Caitlin Schick from Orem. And I have been in Players Club 5 since yesterday.
Bill Rowe from Murray, Players Club 10 for a month.
Awesome.
My name is Nancy Mena, and I live in Bountiful, and I've been in Players Club 5 for 1 month.
Sandy Matthews, West Valley City, Players Club 10, 1 month.
Rusty Burns, West Jordan, Players Club, 2 months.
Scott Hardy, Bluffdale, Utah. Been in the business 2 months yesterday. Players Club 10, 2 months.
Russ Molesman, I've been in the business just under 2 months, or just over 2 months, and 2 months Players Club 10.
Congratulations. Scott Merlick here from Sandy, been in Players Club 5 for 2 months, been in the business 2 months.
Congratulations. Shane Anderson, Kaysville, been in the business 3 months, Players Club 10, 3 months.
RJ Stevens have been in Players Club 10 3 months and Players Club 5 5 months.
Melody Chen Draper, Players Club 10 6 months.
Lucy and Clyde Hinderleiter. We've been in 7 years, active 5 months, Players Club five months.
Randy Harrison, Sandy, a Players Club for 8 months.
Ten.
Players of ten, sorry.
Dan Foster, Salt Lake City, 10 months. 8 months. Wishful thinking.
Ron Sanders, West Jordan, 8 months.
April Cook, Draper, Utah, and 8 months.
Scott Weaver, Wellsville, Utah, 14 months.
Aspen Morrow, Nampa, Idaho, Players Club 10, 22 months.
Players Club, 23 months. Sean Hurley's from Pleasant Grove, by the way.
Kurt and Donna Mon from Idaho Falls. We've been in Players Club now for 31 months, and we're hanging in there.
I don't remember, but it's like going almost to 3 years.
Sally Gilbert, Players Club 10 for about 24 or 5 something.
Mike Bertot from West Jordan, 27 months.
Deanne DeBell, 42 months.
Sherry Tolman, Orem, Utah. This month marked my 6 years in prepaid legal Players Club 10 for 6 years.
George Wilkinson, Bountiful, Utah, 91 months since inception.
Ryan Burns, Players Club, 18 months. Over here again, we've got rank advancements. Guys, every Super Saturday, we're going to be doing rank advancements, sorry. All right, every Super we can really do independently with our business is make a goal by the next Super Saturday. I really hope this is something going through everybody's mind. If you're an associate, your next goal should get to senior associate. By the next month, guys, you can get to manager for sure. Setting those goals, these are the people who have done that. So the people who have had a rank advancement, whether they just got started and they moved to associate or senior associate, work your way over to the side of the room. Okay, if we have senior associates who have, in the last month, have worked their way from senior associate to manager, I want you guys to work your way over to the side of the room after the first group. And then, of course, if anybody's moved from manager to director, go ahead and move over to the side of the room. Any rank advancements? Just go ahead and move over to the side of the room. Huh? Any rank advancements? Go ahead and move over to the side of the room. These are the people who have given themselves a raise in the last month. All right, let's do it.
Hey, new guy again. Just advanced to senior associate.
Nathan Miller, Logan, Utah, senior associate.
A.D. Sorensen, Ogden, Utah, senior associate. Going to be right behind him as a director next time.
Jay Moore from Layton. I was just made senior associate last week.
Woo! Congratulations.
My name is Ivan Mendoza, and I'm a senior associate.
Congratulations. My name is Jared Williams, and I just did it this morning. Senior associate.
Sean and Liz Hill, senior associates. Thank you.
Marshall Fox, senior associate.
Dave and April Paulette, just made managers. Congratulations!
Nancy Manage just made manager.
Bill Rowe, manager.
Jerry Scow, manager.
Barbara Godby, manager.
Caitlin Schick, manager.
Travis Anderson Kaysville, just made manager.
Guys, in the whole state, we had one person reach the rank of director, so we need to stand on your feet and give Shane Anderson a round of applause for his effort. Nice job.
Shane Anderson, director.
Am I back on? Okay. Thanks, leadership. I think we can grab a seat now. You know, I don't know how many people have done it in the state of Utah. I know we've got Julie Christensen, who hit director in 3 months. Shane Anderson now hit it in 3 months. Anybody else do we know? I mean, there's some big things happening lately, especially with this new comp plan, the new structuring. We got more people that are making those rank advancements, and they're getting there a lot faster. And I just think it's just been incredible. All right, now if I can find my clicker. We get to go into the top producers. Guys, we get paid on the memberships. These are the people who are going out there, and they're getting the top producer in the whole state of Utah. So starting off at number 3 out of the entire state of Utah, we've got Clancy Talbot. She hates that. She always gives us a crusty if she's not number 1. All right, number 2, we've got Rick Jensen. Awesome. Rick Jensen is here. And doing an incredible job at number 1, we've got LLD Benefits. All right. Top recruiters of the month for February. Oh, there we go. All right, coming in at number 7, we got Devin Stahl, or Staley. I can never say it. Staley. All right. Number 6, we've got Daniel Rona. He's still recruiting and he's in Jerusalem, guys. All right, we've got Melody Chen, number 5. Good job, Melody. We've got Shelby Smolin, number 4. Shelby? I know she was here just a minute ago. Number 3, we got Patricia Sharanian. She couldn't make it. She has some medical stuff she's dealing with. Number 2, we got Randy Harrison. And coming in at number 1, I really have no idea, is Russ Moosman. Hey! All right, Russ, we got to put you on the stop. You know what? Come on up. Give him a hand, guys. Top recruiters.
It's time to come together. It's up to you. What's your pleasure?
Kind of nervous, but the reason I got started in business, making a little bit of extra money, started out just doing that. The money's nice, but the time freedom that I have with my daughter makes it all worth it. I absolutely love this company.
Let's celebrate.
Okay. As a lot of you guys know, we just had an incredible time in Oklahoma City. Who was there, by the way? Okay, we have a lot of people that were there, and we want to hear a nugget that you got, each one of you. I know there's a lot of people who raised their hand, but every one of you, I know you got something out of that convention, and you wouldn't have been yelling so loud. But we want you to come up here, and in under 30 seconds, tell us one thing that you learned from convention and how it's going to change your business in the future. We've got a sound guy that's going to kind of help us with the time here, so if you hear that music going up, that's just your little assistance to move on so we can hear everybody tell their story. So one at a time, let's start over with this section, if you guys don't mind. Anybody who was at convention, start working your way up and share one thing that you learned in convention and how it's going to affect your business today. You guys can start coming up and sharing right from the mic right here. Oh, he's going to stand. Okay.
If anyone wants to know how tall I am, I'm 6'9". So that's anyway, it's my second convention. I just want to let you know that our team is really in Vegas is going to explode. We have people from all over the country coming in. And what we're learning, what I learned basically at the convention is that you can build a team by just working with people in or outside the state. We have a very large team inside Utah, but we have a bigger team outside Utah. And I've been plugging in, getting everybody plugged in. They're motivated. They all want to go. But if you don't go to convention, you're missing out because you learn everything you need to know about the business. And I do this on a very, very part-time basis. I already make a big income. My wife is a nurse for 18 years. I don't need money. I need time. And I have a 17-year-old boy that just lost his mother last year. So I've been remarried about 11 years. So my motivation desire is to have financial freedom of time. I don't need money. I have plenty of money. Thank you.
Short people here. My name's Seth Koyman, and probably one of the key nuggets I've picked up is to only be consistent, persistent, but not to be insistent. So I would say that would probably be one of the key elements I found.
Yeah, I just love the convention, being able to see, you know, all walks of life. Everybody can do it. Just stay in the course, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. It makes it all worthwhile. Anywhere from a couple of months to a couple of years, you know, just keep at it, keep going.
My name's Michelle Still. I work in the medical field, so just knowing the inspiring feeling you get from actually helping people with prepaid legal is what made me excited.
I think what impressed me most was the speech by Harlan Stone Cypher. You know, any organization, whether it's a family, a business, a trade association, the quality of that organization begins at the top. And however that individual is, filters down through the organization. And he is a genuine individual who cares about the associates in his business and cares about the service that he's providing. And then he talked about the fact that if you're going to do something, you need to burn your ships. Now, that doesn't mean you have to cut off everything else, but if you're going to try this business, it's probably not going to work. You got to make a decision to do it. Whether it's part-time or full-time, you got to burn your ships.
Kurt Mond from Idaho Falls. Two things. Number one, what stinking recession? And number two, posture. The thing that that impressed me most of all with the convention this time was to walk tall, because we have a product, we have two products that are second to none. No comparison, no competition, posture.
Ralph Wright from Bountiful, and following Kurt there, part of that posture is understanding that we have a product that has no peer. There's no other product out there in the identity theft field or in the legal field that does what ours does. We're in different leagues, you know. We're in the major leagues, the other companies are in the minor leagues, and you've got to understand that and communicate that to people.
Kind of what I wanted to say, but really, I love that part of it. But I realized how important it is to be there, because I can remember missing one, and I can see what happened. I let work get in the way, and I'll never miss another event. I love Pre-P people.
My name is Bryn Munson. What I learned is that if you just stick and stay, you'll get the pay. Also, we had a guest speaker there. His name was Stedman. He talked about being the best that you are at what you do. And so if you're doing something and you have a job full time, be the best at it. And prepaid will work. You just got to be proud of what you're doing and be proud of prepaid and be proud of what, like, if you're not making tons of money at prepaid, eventually it'll be your time. And if you just are proud of your career, that will see. And if people see you being the best you can be, they will believe in the service. They will believe, and you will make a living with prepaid.
My name is Jacob Kirtland, and I'm a manager in the company. I love convention. You can't get anything out of it unless you go there. But they had a Legends panel, over 300 years of experience in prepaid, and they went through the hard times and plowed the field, as they would say. And it doesn't get any easier than it is today, but you just got to go through the sacrifices and go through the no's and go through the people, and you will have success, just like Brent said.
My name is Jeremy Reeder. I've been involved with the company for about a year and a half, and last convention here just recently in Oklahoma is the first one I've gone to before. And the nuggets that I learned there, well, first of all, it's full of energy, and it was an awesome time to spend a week off of work and really get full-fledged into this company. It's now in me. And the thing is I learned that professional sort, amateurs convince. And I learned how to be a professional in Oklahoma. And yesterday I went through and texted everybody in my phone about the luncheon yesterday. I would have never done that before. Some of those I never talked to. In fact, I got responses back from people. I don't know you. They changed their number, like 8 or 9 people. Well, I just went through all of them and fixed that problem too, and I had some people come to the luncheon. It was a great opportunity. My wife is now with me. She went with me to the convention, and that's a change that's going to change my life for years.
Hi, my name is Dan Hunt. First thing I learned is don't try and fly on a standby ticket. Probably the biggest thing I learned came from John Addison. First of all, the fact that CEO of what could be considered a competitor of ours in network marketing, you know, their CEO was there at our convention, and he talked to us and stuff, and he talked about developing a happiness that comes from your soul, not from your circumstances. You know, that way, no matter what your circumstances are, the happiness is always there. So that's it.
Hi, I'm Liz Hill. What I got from the convention mostly was echoed through all of them, and that was seize the moment, and now is the time. And so, like, when that kicked in for the next day, I took Dave Cibula's advice, and I just walked up to people that were just sitting down. I'm Liz Hill. How's it going? Tell me where you're from, what you're doing. And I was just like, dude, I'm so going to be a part of this. This is just it. This is my life. And so I just am totally going to seize the moment, and I'm going to see them at the top, totally, all of you. So that's what I said.
That was my wife, by the way. Sean Hill, and when I found out that one of the goals of this business is to make more millionaires than any other company, I, you know, thought to myself, I want to be part of that. And it's going to bless untold number of lives when there's people out there, you know, showing people how to live abundantly, showing them that they can achieve their goals and their dreams, and that there's nothing wrong with that. So I appreciate that.
My name is Nathan Young. This wasn't my first convention. It was actually my fourth in OKC. But just a couple quick thoughts that really stood out. There was three quotes in specific that kind of merged together to create the overall theme of what I took away from OKC. And the first one, and whoever knows his last name, you're going to have to get with me afterwards, but Phil, the gentleman from Florida,
that talks like this.
Okay. He says, if things aren't going exactly as you'd like them to, stop using your wishbone and start using your backbone. All of us have this desire to achieve that dream. We see the recognition in Oklahoma is huge. And, I mean, there's hundreds of people that walk that stage for recognition. And another thought, they said, you'll get up here when it's your time. You see these people that walk being recognized for positions, whatever. You'll get up here when it's your time. You just need to stick to it. Harlan Stonecipher says that not one of you has reached your destination yet. We need to take that to heart. We can't feel like we're a slave to our circumstances. We just need to do it.
Hey, my name is Dave Fister. There's two things I learned over there. It's one of the speakers talks about the opportunity turning into responsibility, obligation. That's huge. And also the now benefits from Rob Vass. He's my hero. You know, our opportunity is easy because I talked to a gentleman yesterday. I said, hey, you can make money right away and send your application and get paid daily. I mean, our opportunity pays straight away. I mean, it's just better than a job. And those are two nuggets I learned. Thanks.
My name is Jerry Scow. It was the first convention I was able to go to since I joined in October. The biggest thing for me was working through both the adversity that they might have and that you might have. And that's just that's my nugget.
Those of you who haven't been to convention, prepaid is so much bigger than it is here and in our local marketplace. So if you haven't been to convention, you're missing out and you're not catching the true picture of what prepaid can be for you. It's so much bigger. It's so much larger. It increases your vision, your enthusiasm, and it expands your mind as to how far you can really take your business.
This is my first convention, and I want to say there are so many things that excited me, but the most exciting things I would like to share with everybody is that it's 2008, they have paid out $125 million just in commission, and after pay everything expense of the company, they still got $63 million left just for you and me. Let's go get it.
I'm Scott Merlick from here in Sandy. This is my first convention. I've been in, like I said, for 2 months earlier. But the one thing that I probably got most out of anything was just the enthusiasm behind the product and the service and helping other people. And one thing that stuck with me and one thing that I highlighted in my journal, and actually I keep index cards with my goals on them, and I wrote it on that, my only alternative is to win, and that came from Mr. Stonecipher. So our only our alternative is to win. Thanks.
This was my first convention. I'm Grant Wilson. I'm from Brigham City, Utah. I have to say dittos to just about everything that was said here, and I was trying to figure out what this line was. But one of the things I learned at the convention was that this company was good enough to be true, and I really felt the energy and the greatness of the company. And I have to say, if this is the line for the company that wants to make more millionaires than any other company, this is the line I want to be in, and so I'm glad to be here.
I'm Adam Hurd. This was my first convention. You know, just the education and the energy there was just outstanding. It's just so powerful. And everybody always tells you you need to do what you need to do to get to the conventions. For example, I mean, I had to make some sacrifices. I recently got engaged a few weeks ago. And while at the convention, learned that the next Las Vegas convention is going to be the weekend that I was on my honeymoon. So, coming back with some very, very careful persuasion with my fiance, we moved the wedding date a week earlier so that I can make it there, because I know that's what I need to do.
My name's Michael Hurd. You know, I've got three quick things I want to talk about. First, my paradigm was really changed as I listened to a vice principal of a school who's a $100,000 ring earner. I figured if he can do it part-time, $100,000 a year, we ought to be able to do that. Second thing, it brought me closer to our team, especially my son who just changed his wedding date. And number three, in Mr. Stonecipher's closing remarks, he talked about cutting off your retreat and burning your ships. I can do that now.
My name is Sherry Tolman. I've been to 6 years worth of conventions, and every one is as wonderful as the next, and you always get something new. One of the things that I loved this time was one of the couples got their $100,000 ring, said it took them 7 years to make executive director, another 7 years to get their ring, and they said it doesn't matter how long it takes you, everyone's on their own path. And so don't compare yourself with everybody else who may be getting their ring in their first year. It's what you end up with. It's your life. It's your journey. It's your story. So just stick with it. The other thing is, in Stedman Graham's talk, when he talked about personal freedom, I thought that was very powerful, as he said some people look for freedom outside of themselves and everyone else to give them freedom. The only freedom that we truly have is the freedom that comes from within. When we know who we are, what we're about, where we're going, and why we're doing what we're doing, we give ourselves the freedom in every aspect of our lives. Freedom does not come from without.
I realized at convention that I kind of messed myself up. Not at convention, but prior to that, I kind of chased the money. And when I got in this business, I realized at convention that I was helping people. And most of my sales have come because of other people's need, not my own. And so that's what I realized at the convention.
I had an opportunity. My name's Shane Anderson. I had an opportunity to go to convention this year with my son Travis, and I could stand up here and talk for hours of the great wisdom that I learned there. The thing that I got from convention was the change, not only in me, but the change in my son. And when we drove back, we were really fired up talking about convention, talking about our next plan of action. And I looked up and said to my son, unless there's a Tulsa, Colorado, we're in trouble. And we had driven halfway across to Oklahoma in the wrong direction. But we had the best two-day trip of our lives, and I love prepaid legal. I got to share that with my son. Thank you.
My name is Lucas Hill. This was my first convention. So much stuff that I learned, just mainly the belief that it puts in you. It plants it deep in your brain and in your heart to where you know you're doing something good. Also, one of the bigger things that I wanted to talk about is standing up for your team. I remember Dave Savola getting up there and going crazy about beating people up for talking bad about his team. But, you know, when someone asks you what you do, we all usually, prepaid legal, you know. But you need to prepaid legal. It's something we do. This is what we do for a living. It's how we make our money. It's how we change people's lives. So that's what I think I learned the most.
For those of you that don't know, I'm Shane's kid, so that's my part in the story. Anyway, I've been in this company about a couple months, and anyway, before they told me about convention, I thought, you know, this should be a good opportunity, maybe make some extra money. And anyway, after I heard about convention, I thought, you know, that sounds a little crazy, driving 1,200 miles to go to something that I'm not sure if I want to do. Anyway, after I went, I can tell you that it was definitely worth it. I got everything I wanted out of it, and then some, and I think the main thing that's changed with me is my confidence and my belief in the company.
I'm Chris Sorensen. If you guys haven't seen Dave Savola first thing on Saturday morning, you're missing out. And I was ready to go out and recruit on the street like 2 minutes after that. But and also Harlan Stonecipher. It's amazing to see him speak. Main things, the success attitude. And just like Mr. Cahill said, what would Harlan Stonecipher do? I think he would do what all of us should do, which is draw your line in the sand, and commit today, commit every day, I will succeed.
I'm Aspen Morrow from Idaho, and I had three things. One is you have to have a white, hot, burning desire, and I will not be denied attitude. And the service from Jason Lavender, be brief, baby, be brief. The service works and the checks cash for recruiting. And I had the honor of staying with Ken Moore an entire week after convention, and that was absolutely phenomenal. But my nugget for you from him that no one else could have gotten was what you do today is important because you're exchanging a day of your life for it. When tomorrow comes, the day will be gone forever, and in its place will be something you have left behind. Let it be something good.
What I got at Oklahoma City, my belief in the company and the product itself was just increased greatly. I went and visited the home office, and you know, we're all about, this is not corporate America, and you're an entrepreneur, but you know what, somebody has to be in corporate America to make it work for us. And what he has done at the home office for the people that keep things running for us is absolutely incredible. It really is. The integrity of that man is just incredible. So if you haven't been there, you definitely need to see it.
If anybody hasn't come up, go ahead and you can work your way over here. I think most people kind of done it.
Okay, I'm Russ Malzman. It was my first convention. I got a lot of nuggets from it. Basically, the best thing I say is if you haven't registered for Vegas, maybe you ought to. And to Oklahoma, all I can say is, wow, it was amazing.
Hey, well, my name is Tommy Farron. I'm from Kaysville. And I think the most powerful thing was when Harland Stonecipher first started speaking, he told a story about a warrior who took his army and crossed the sea to go conquer a neighboring kingdom, and when they got there, they burned their ships to cut off their retreat so they could only succeed or fail. And I don't care how long it takes me, I'm going to succeed in this business. I love this business.
My name is Mark Anderson, and this was actually my seventh convention. I'm not one of those people who's really money motivated. When you do the color personalities, I'm like almost zero red. But I'm very cause-driven, and so I've been in this because it's a cause for me. I started teaching elementary school because that was a cause for me, and I couldn't support my family on that, so I needed to find something different. What I got out of this is I'm kind of a religious zealot a bit, and I needed to know that this was the right place where God wanted me to be. And so Thursday night, getting ready for bed, and said my prayers. I said, help me to know, is this the right place for me? And not an hour into convention, I had my answer very firmly, and I went out and made $900 this week.
The convention was kicked off by John Addison, the co-CEO of Primerica. He said they just canceled their incentive trip. We're not only going to Punta Cana this year, but everyone in this room, depending on what you do today and tomorrow, has a right to earn the way to Cancun for next year. They just canceled their convention. We're building for Las Vegas right now. Primerica is owned by Citigroup, who's in the past couple weeks, their stock has been at about 70 cents. Over the past 10 years, we've paid out $1.2 billion in commissions. In 2008, we had a positive cash flow over $64 million that you and I could have earned. What more could you ask in terms of a rock-solid company to tie yourself to? That's why we have the right to have the posture and be proud of being part of Prepaid Legal.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm from Bountiful. I just barely got started in this company the end of last month, and I was excited about a conference because it got me energized. And I heard the story about the family where the son and the nephew was nephew died and they were charged with vehicular manslaughter and all that. It was a pretty phenomenal story that this company was able to protect them, protect their son, and it was pretty amazing. And so I just want to say one more thing. You got to have your why, and then besides that, I want to say a joke that we heard there. Behind every great man is a surprised mother-in-law.
My name is Barbara. I'd only been in the company 7 weeks and was the biggest coward to go and talk to people. And I went to the recruiting boot camp and learned to open my mouth and hand out a tool. And so I go out and won't come home until I've done that. This week, no results yet, but I've got a lot of tools out there. So next week I should have some money in the bank.
Richard Swenson, I like Darnell South's comments on the success of this business. It's called STP, that old motor additive, show the plan.
My name is Terry Kohler. This is about like my sixth convention. Some people know the troubles in my background and what I struggle with in this business. But one of the things that Harlan Stonecipher shared is faith can move mountains. You got to stay plugged in, get to the events. The convention helps because I know, like George, he knows my background, my history. I had 5 guests at lunch yesterday. I had a guest Thursday night. I left the convention, went up to Kansas City. I had 5 people that wanted to come out and look at the information, though the schedules couldn't allow it that day. They didn't show up, but they called me after and said, I'll be there next week. So it definitely helps. Everybody needs to say this, okay? Harlan Stonecipher shared this too. Make it mine in 2009. Yes.
My name is Ron Sanders. You guys know I focus small business primarily. The thing that's amazing is anytime there's a training, whether it's local, whether it's there, whether it's additional trainings, a lot of us go to a lot of other trainings outside of that. And so probably what I picked up the most was some of the small business trainings I went to. Guys, you talk about the economy, and as we said on many times through the training, what recession? But I had probably the biggest part for me was Fran Tarkenton speaking, talking about the fact that is going to bring our economy back. What has always brought our economy back is the small business owners. Our plans for the small business owners are phenomenal, but even more importantly for all of you, you need to understand fully you are a small business owner, and you need to treat this like a business, and your economy will change by treating this like a business because it's small business that makes America work, and you are that.
I had a complete and total shift in my belief in this company, and I've been around for a while. Before convention, my roommate and I would talk about the business, and she'd be like, yeah, go for it, you know. When I got home, we stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning talking about it. She's like, I finally get it. I finally feel like I can stand behind you and support you while you are going out and doing your business, because I see it in you. And one thing that really hit hard was back to the Legends panel. There are these people who have been in the business for years and years, who paved the way for us, stood there telling stories about how they would go out and sell hundreds of memberships because no one told them they couldn't do it. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, and I, you know, qualifying for ED, you know, and I'm freaking out about that, but they were out there selling with photocopied brochures and not having what they needed to, I mean, well, they did, they had their attitude, but that's what I gained, was a complete and total shift in my belief level and in the company.
I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but when you see that parade of ring earners, you know, the first like 10, 20 minutes, you're all like really excited. And then after 20, 30, 40 minutes go by and you're like, you start to get bored. I mean, there's just so many people who are doing really, really well in the company. And you walk away from that and you realize that you can do it too. Second thing, Rob Vest, he got up several different times, sold 5,200 memberships, over $600,000 in a year off of his personal efforts. He said he doesn't like the word excited because Excited doesn't get it in paid. Let me tell you, when you do the work, you get on the phones, you do your follow-up, you talk to people, the magic happens, whether that's recruit or business or whatever. Excited takes care of itself.
My name is Deanne Foster, and I've been to several conventions, and I think what I sensed in this convention, you know when you're taking off on an airplane and it starts to pick up speed and goes faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, and you're kind of getting pushed back in your seat? That's how what I felt like at convention this time. And for those of you that have been to previous conventions, I'm sure you probably sensed that. But the speed, the momentum is picking up, and you can sense that shift. The numbers are telling the story as well. But the sense, the feeling that it's going faster and faster, and you just better stay on board and fasten your seatbelt, because it is marvelously exciting. What I love most about every convention is the ability to witness this company keep its promises. And when they promise expansion bonuses, they deliver. And it was phenomenal to see the number of people going across getting their expansion bonuses. And when I'm talking bonuses, Mark Seguin, $100,000 expansion bonus check. It just shows that it's possible. And people going across getting checks for $50,000, $75,000, $15,000, $25,000. And they're keeping their promises. And it's so exciting to see, and increases the belief that we can all go and do that. Just stay on board.
Shana Swenson, and this isn't the first convention I've been to, and I got a ton from it, but I think the biggest thing was just a stronger belief in myself to make it work so that I can be at home with my little boy.
Hey, I'm Clyde Hinderleiter. I was in Las Vegas when they rolled out the identity theft protection. Then I was dormant, and what I picked up is if somebody's doubting us, tell them to call the Better Business Bureau. We are nationally ranked A+. Okay, and then ask them, what's your rating at the Better Business Bureau? Okay?
My name's Judy Baird, and I've been to several conventions, and I love them all. It's just so motivating. But one thing I loved about this was the gentleman that said when he was a little boy, he was always getting beat up, and his dad bought him this dog, and they named him Brownie. And whenever anyone was going to pick on him, he'd say, sick 'em, Brownie. So now when we think about our membership and we pick up the phone when someone's bothering us, just remember to say, sick 'em, Brownie.
Hi, I'm Steve Gingas, and this was my second convention, and it was absolutely amazing. And they're absolutely right. It's very difficult to say, what did you get from convention? What's the big deal about convention? Well, in your heart, you get emotionally attached to your business. And I am now emotionally attached to my business, and I'm ready to rock.
My name is George Wilkinson, and this will be my 10th year next month that I've been with the company. And it reminded me when I saw that picture with Woody Allen in that Tulsa convention, that was my first convention. And if you notice, it was all tables, not people. You guys need to understand the awareness that has come about with this company. This membership is now being bought, not sold. I think that's the key.
Okay, first, I just wanted to say, and I know that the leadership, we were talking about it, every one of you guys that made it to convention, we know that you had a reason not to go, every one of you. And the reason the state is active is because you guys stepped up to the plate and you found a way to get there. So if you guys don't mind giving a round of applause for everybody who made it. Everybody who's had a chance to experience it, you know that there's just something about convention that doesn't just change your business, it changes your life. It changes the way you look at every problem that you experience. So just to be right there, we can't bring everything back, but what we have put together, some of the highlights we felt that we needed to share. One of the things that we wanted to get into right away is, guys, we want to show you the numbers. Incredible. I mean, the numbers just floored you. So if you give a round of applause for Ms. Deanne DeBell, as she's going to share the company numbers.
people. Okay, now I know it's confusing me doing the numbers. I can't retain any number thing in my head at all. But this I loved because it's such credibility for the company. And a lot of you said it as you came through, Scott. I mean, it hit us hard that this company is rocking and rolling with or without us. So we need to make a decision whether we're on board or we're not because it's taken off. So the numbers are, the company made has more than 60 million in cash and investments at the year end of 2008. That's more than the total debt of the company. And then they have a net cash flow of $64 million for 2008. You know, you look at companies now, they're happy when they don't have these figures, you guys. This is our company that's absolutely blowing up. They paid more than $125 million in commissions during 2008. That's cash, not coupons like some companies give. That's cash. $1.2 billion in commissions in the last 10 years. And they want to pay even more in 2009. And we all want to be a part of that, right?
Yes.
Hey. They created the 100th millionaire. And again, our founder wants to be the founder that creates the most millionaires that any of their company has done. That's huge. $150 million paid to the attorneys in 2008. And they're just not attorneys, you guys. These are advocates who are trained to treat us as their number one clients, keep our memberships on the books, take care of our members. They pay them well to do that. And then they looked at the week that we were there at convention. So on Saturday, they came back with the numbers for that week. And companies are happy when they even have a 1% increase. Our company had a 25% increase that week compared to the week the previous year. That's huge. Okay. And again, the Better Business Bureau endorses us. Look it up. I have people look it up all the time. And they're just, oh, they do. They love you guys. Attorney generals and insurance commissioners come out and speak on our behalf. The National Council of Attorney Generals just came out and endorsed our prepaid legal concept. It's huge. And then just to wrap up, again, you guys know this, we're a 37-year-old company, traded on the New York Stock Exchange, open book, 16 consecutive years of growth. Our product stands the test of time. And then we have strong financials and proven business model. And we have a huge market, and some people say it's a bad economy, but that means that we have the greatest opportunity ever. And we owe each other the responsibility to protect and nourish this opportunity, to pass it on to as many people as we can, as fast as we can, but do it right. Market good memberships. And a couple of things that I learned from that I held on to from convention, the biggest sell is the one that you sell yourself. And then have posture. Be proud of your company. Like Dave Savola said, if anyone tries to mealy-mouse this company, you put on your army helmet and you go to war. And be proud of your company. The posture comes before the money. So fake it till you make it. Have that posture. Expect abundance. The American dream is alive and well. Now go out there and make it mine in 2009.
Okay, like we said, we had a lot of things that we wanted to share with you, and we only have a few minutes to do it. So guys, we want to start off with the UDs. They have something to share on how to treat this like a business, and they're taken from a few of the talks that we heard, some stuff we definitely needed to bring back to the marketplace. So give a hand up for the UDs.
To have notes because there was so much good stuff and I want to make sure that I get it in. Everybody stand up. Yay. Okay, raise your arms up here. Way up high. I can't because my shirt's tight. Right up here. Okay, reach it forward. Okay, turn around. Okay, that was for absolutely no reason. I just want to see if you do it. Sit up. No, honestly though, any of you who have ever had a job or have a job right now, would you raise your hands? OK,
Okay. Do you understand that what you call your job isn't really your job? Someone had that job before you came, and it's going to be somebody else's job when you leave. That job doesn't belong to you. That job belongs to your employer, and your employer has just found a way to talk you into doing his work. That's one of the things that I learned at convention. Now, you're getting paid for your time, so you're trading your time for money. If you've ever worked a job, you know how that is. Did any of you guys have chores when you were kids? Had chores. Did any of you try to manipulate your siblings into doing your chores for you?
The word is.
Come on, everybody's guilty, right? Everybody did it, right? Right, right.
The word is coerce.
Coerce. Hey, I was being. He coerced, I manipulated. Okay. Well, you know what? It's kind of the same concept. Someone has just talked you into doing their job for them, and they're paying you an hourly wage to do it. Because it's not yours, it's theirs. So, your boss is going to profit on your efforts. Do you think your boss is going to make more money on what you do, or do you think you're being paid more money for what you do? Who do you think is getting the better deal there? Really? Your boss. Your boss is the one that's making money. It wouldn't make sense to own the business if it wasn't, right? So which one would you rather be? The employee or a business owner?
Business owner.
Obviously. So, you know what? It's your business. This is your business.
You can figure out where you are.
I know. I skipped around.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm over here. Go ahead. Right
That's
there.
That's what I thought. All right. One of the things we want to talk about, and I kind of talked about this in our training the other day. Can you guys hear me okay? Okay, good. You are the CEO. Now, that means that you get to be in charge of your business. That means that our regional vice president, he can't fire you. He can't take away wages. He can't dock your pay. He can't tell you to take administrative leave. You are the CEO. But the problem with that also comes all the responsibility of being the CEO. You have all the things necessary in you to decide how much money you get to make. Some of the things that we think about every time, and they talked about this at convention, there's no ceiling here. Whereas that job you had, or maybe you have, your boss tells you how much you get to make. Your boss gets to tell you when you get that 15-minute coffee break, or when you get to go to lunch, and when you have to be back. And if you don't show up when you're supposed to, how long do you get to have that job? Not very long, usually. All of these things, unfortunately, are also your responsibility. That means if you decide to make a choice as to when you're going to do some things, you got to do them then, because there's nobody going to tell you have to be there. There's nobody going to say, hey, you got to start at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. This business is really simple. It's really simple, and it's easy to do. But with that comes, it's easy not to do. So think about that. Most of you are familiar, and we pick on McDonald's a lot, right? We all make fun of McDonald's and the fact that they have $6-an-hour employees who run the business.
Oh, I loved this analogy at convention. This is one of my favorite analogies at convention.
Awesome. Well, one of the things that you understand that McDonald's is a million plus almost anywhere you go. But that McDonald's is relegated to that spot on the planet. That means that if you decide that this corner isn't working so well, you can't grab the building and pick it up and put it on the other side of town. The building is where it's at. So you've got to figure out a way to bring that to you. Well, with this business, you have the ability to take. If this corner isn't working so well, you're not stuck in any one spot. You're really not. You can go anywhere you want. If you build a great business right here in Utah and you decide, you know what, I'm tired of the cold, I want to live in Arizona or Florida, you can take your whole McDonald's with you. Now, the other thing about the McDonald's that they mentioned there, and I'm sorry, we planned this like late last night, so we're a little bit behind. But one of the other things that they talk about is if you own a McDonald's franchise and you spent $1 million, you're looking at about 5 years before you go into profit mode. 5 years of your time. prepaid legal, you're looking at a $249 investment, and you can be profit mode the same 24 hours. In fact, we have people on our team that have made back the $249 in the same day. So think about that. You're not 5 years. You're not hoping it works. Nobody's telling you you can only sell Big Macs and you can only sell what we tell you can sell. Prepaid Legal says, hey, this is the great product, but you can sell it anywhere you want. In fact, you can go out and find your customers. And you're in profit mode within 24 to 48 hours. The bad part with the McDonald's, you spent so many millions, you spent 5, 10, 15 years building a business that's bringing money into you. Heaven forbid you should pass on, that business does not go to your family. That business goes back to corporation. Did you know that? I didn't know that until we went to the convention. The company, McDonald's Corporation, takes your business if you die.
It goes back to Mickey D.
Prepaid legal, heaven forbid something should happen to you, me, my wife will continue to get it. If something happens to her, our children, our grandchildren will continue to
I'm
do
kidding.
That. I think that's pretty amazing. But here's what you got to understand. You're going to get exactly what you focus on.
Okay. Something else that happened, and some of you were at this training and some of you weren't because it was at our Team Renew training. But I want you to do this, and I really want you to. I'm not kidding you this time, okay? I really want you to do this. Okay. What you focus on is what you create. We've all heard that, right? So I want you to take your hands. And you should have a line right here across your wrist. Okay? This amazed me. Okay. Line those up like this. And put your hands up. If you look at your hands, one, in most people, there's a few people like him that's weird. But most people, on one hand, your fingers are going to be just slightly longer than the other. Do you see that? Yeah. Well, that's because it worked, April. Okay, so now I want you to, okay, remember which hand was the shortest one, okay? I want you to look at that hand, and I want you to repeat with me. You're gonna concentrate on that hand, and you're going to repeat with me, grow longer. We're going to do it three times, okay? So concentrate on your hand and say, grow longer, grow longer, grow longer. Okay, line your hands up with the line right there. Line them up. Tell me what happened. Some of you, it may have not worked for, but for the most of the people, you're going to notice that hand that you were concentrating on, that you were focusing on, is now longer. How'd that happen? I don't know. I don't know. But the truth is, whatever you focus on is what you're going to get. Whether it's negative or positive, if you want to concentrate on the negative parts of your business, oh, so-and-so didn't show up for the briefing, or this happened, or that happened, you can concentrate on those negative things if you want to, but you're going to get more of those negative things. If you concentrate on the positive things, if you concentrate on what you really want to create, that's what you're going to create. So create negative, create positive. The choice is yours because it's your business, it's your life, you're going to do it. But just remember that whatever you're concentrating on, whatever you're spending the most time thinking about and working on, that's what you're going to create. And this is your business to create.
All right. Again, we're going to go back. This is your business. Treat it like a business. That means you've got to set up the time when you're going to get started. And it doesn't mean you have to be in this business 24 hours a day. I mean, it's unreasonable to believe that you can spend 24 hours a day doing anything. Breathing is probably one thing you should spend 24 hours a day at. Other than that, don't try to do that, because what happens is we become overwhelmed. And if we can become overwhelmed, we won't do anything. So one of the things that we've been coaching with some of our team and stuff is pick a time of the day that you're going to spend on that business. In other words, if it's from 9 to noon or whatever the case may be, or if you're going to do it in pieces throughout the day, pick those times and set them aside. In other words, you know, I got to get my two exposures in today sometime. Wouldn't it be a whole lot better if you said, you know what, from 9 to noon, I'm going to get my two exposures in. I don't know how exactly yet every day, but I'm going to go find two people, one way or another, that I can talk to. How important is that? Because now you've set a schedule. If you don't do that and you say, hey, you know, sometime today, I can promise you about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, you're going to go, oh, You know what? I was supposed to do that sometime today. But sometime never happens. One of the things that we have found that setting a schedule, whatever it may be, and it's different for everybody. If this is a part-time thing for you or spare time, as most of the people in my organization, this is very spare time. They work it around their busy work schedule. You can fill in those times, but you've got to set them aside. We know that the only way to be successful in anything is to actually put the time aside. And we own a police uniform supply store.
Most of you know that we owned a police uniform supply store. I own a police. Yeah, he was doing his cop thing then. But when you own a traditional business like that, how many of you have owned a traditional business? Okay, so a few of you. So you understand, I had a retail store. There's hours of operation. I had to open those doors at 10 and I had to close those doors at 6. I had the vendors. I had the payroll. I had the taxes. I had people that were expecting me to do certain things. I had my employees. Well, there's certain things that you have to do when you own a business. I couldn't hire an employee and just say, here you go, I'm taking off. See you later. They had to know how to do that business. I had to train them. I had to help them to understand that. And this company, too, I had a system that we did that with, and I had a system for my bookkeeping, and I had a system for keeping track of my government accounts and my billing and my invoicing and all of those things. Well, we have a system here, too. Prepaid has a system, and it works. Obviously, you said you got rusty. Where are you? All of the $100,000 ring earners crossing the stage and how long it took. Obviously, it works, right? So you've got to get into that system and you've got to follow it. You've got to be coachable. You've got to come to the trainings. You've got to come to the briefings. You've got to do the things that you have to do to run your business. Because if it were any other type of business, if it were any other traditional type of business, and you just decide, hey, you know what? I'm not going to show up at 10 o'clock to open those doors. And you know what? I'm tired of being here today. I'm just going to leave at 3 o'clock. Or maybe, you know what? I'm not even going to go in at all. I'm not going to show up at all. How long do you think your business would do good? How long do you think it would last? It wouldn't. Well, this is a business. It's better because you get to choose, but it's still a business and you need to treat it that way.
So you could be employed or the employer. That's the great thing about it. They have a system in place. If you haven't listened to the Jeff Olson's CDs, figure out a way to get a hold of them and listen to them. And then go ahead and listen to them again, about once a month for your first year. And I can promise you, if you do that consistently, that system will start to sink in. This business is not net luck marketing or net wish marketing. It's actually network marketing. Nobody's knocking on my door at 2 in the afternoon saying, hey, I need to get a legal plan. Because they don't even know we have it. I mean, they talked about it, the skyscrapers in the neighborhoods. But people in your neighborhood may not know who you are unless you open your mouth and say, hey, I have a great opportunity. Take a look at this. Nobody's going to come to your door and from door to door going, hey, I need a legal plan and an opportunity. Do you have one? They're not going to go through the doors in your neighborhood looking for somebody who's doing that. On a rare occasion, I'm sure that probably happens, so I better be careful. But one of the things that we have found is, as a lot of you guys know, I'm like a big advocate of personal development, and I read a lot of stuff, and I spend a lot of time looking things up. And I found a little quote by Thomas Edison, and here's how he put it. Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. The truth is, the opportunity's here. You have it. Everybody in this room has seen it, has recognized the value in it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You have the opportunity, but you have to work it. It's not going to fall in your lap. Mr. Burns didn't get to the place where he's at, earning $100,000 in his first year and a half in the business, because he was at home waiting for people to give him a call. He spent a lot of time, heard a lot of no's. He worked the business very hard. Again, so if you're going to set your schedule, do that. Make sure you have something. The 10 core commitments. We all know what they are, right? If you don't, raise your hand if you know what the 10 core commitments are. Can you repeat them out of your head? There's only a couple of them that you have to do every day. We only have two national conventions. We only have a briefing two nights a week.
Well, in different places, but you have to attend one.
Two different. You pick one. We only have training once a week. You don't have to do those 5 days a week. Those are only once a week. You have to do your two exposures every day. They're the 10 core commitments. They're not the 10 suggestions, the 10 good ideas. They're the 10 core commitments. And in order to be successful in this, you can do it the scenic route, or you can follow those 10 core day in, day out, and you can get there. So commit to your business, commit to your dreams, and most importantly, we all know that we get paid in accordance to the value we bring to the marketplace. So commit to yourself that I'm going to be better, because the law of income says that we get paid according to the value you bring to the marketplace. So bring your value up so that you can get more value.
Okay, so basically, you know what? You get to decide. What are you going to create? What are you going to create, and are you going to be committed to whatever it is that you want? So here today, you don't have to participate, but those of you who want to make a commitment to better your life, to get what you want, to get those dreams, to make your business what you want it to be, I want to hear it.
Hold on. Wait. I don't know how many of you have read this book before she does that. I don't know how many of you have read this book. It's actually The Five Laws That Determine All of Life's Outcomes. He talks about being all in. That doesn't mean that you have to be in all in 24 hours a day. That means that whenever you're doing your business, whatever schedule you have set, commit to it. Be 100% focused on that. Because, again, as we showed you earlier, you get what you focus on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, now. that was a good point. That's okay. I didn't know he was going to do that. Okay, so now I want to hear it. Are you committed?
Yes.
Then let's hear it. I'm committed.
I'm committed.
Louder.
I'm committed.
I'm almost convinced.
I'm committed.
Yes. All right. Go get him, guys.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much. A lot of you guys might have heard that at the beginning of convention, they had a few recruiting boot camps. Did you guys hear about that? Anybody attend any of those? Good. Okay. We actually, Miss April Cook, she attended Brian Carruthers, Michael Humes, Darnell Self. I mean, who else was in that recruiting? Darren Kidd. I mean, that thing was packed with the top recruiters in the entire country. These guys have the most active teams in the entire country, and they just inundated them with what makes somebody, and they just basically gave a path. Quickest way to your six-figure ring is this. And April only has about 15 minutes, so you guys better get ready to take some serious notes, because she's going to try to share with you guys the big key point of what they shared, the most successful networkers and recruiters in the company. So give it up for Miss April Cook.
No, I don't need it. We're good. We're just going to make it a little more simple. Okay, the biggest thing... I don't want to be by the mic. The biggest thing that I want you guys to understand, and this is something that it took me two different conventions to finally figure it out. I think once we all get wrapped up in going into convention and we're all getting ready to go, that a lot of the leadership forgets to tell us how many events there really are there to attend. So I showed up to Las Vegas, that was my very first convention, and we showed up and we had people coming out of all these different events, and I was like, what is all this? And they're just good trainings, and that was all I was left at. So I was like, okay, OKC, I am not missing a single training. They have so many great trainings that you can go to before convention even starts. So what I want you guys to really understand is really focus on getting there maybe a day or two early, because some of the best things, some of the strongest things that I learned and that are going to help us with our business, I learned before convention even started. And so there's all these boot camps that they're talking about, and there was a lot of group trainings and small biz trainings and all these different things that, you know, we learned. The convention's great, but if you're going to be down there anyways, why not pick up as much as you can? Because most of the time it's the millionaires that are teaching these courses and that are really there to help you. And so dive in as much as you can from the very beginning. My biggest thing that I wanted to talk to you guys today about was one of the events that I went to before convention even started, and it was Brian Carruthers, and he really stressed about PBRs. It's private business reception for anybody that doesn't know, but it's right down to the very basics. That's the very first thing that we teach our associates when they come in is, okay, let's get your list, and now let's set up a PBR. But yet, if you look clear down, I mean, Brian Carruthers has been doing this for years, and he's making, you know, several hundreds of thousands of dollars on a regular basis, and yet what is he still doing? He's still doing the very basics of holding a PBR on a regular basis for him, for his new associates, for everybody, and then they're just duplicating it. Now, by a raise of hands, how many people in this room feel like they are ready to be able to hold a PBR all on their own? They could do it start to finish and not need any help from their upline. Okay, so keep your hands up. If you'll come up, Dave, if you'll come up, Chris, come up. Is it Judy? Judy, come up. How many does that give me? 1, 2, 3, 4? Okay, cool. 5. I had a good PBR. I'm getting 5. Okay, so here's how we're going to start. Let's say I'm brand new into the company and that I'm going to hold my first PBR. Now, like, don't let me trick you guys, because my first two PBRs, Ryan showed up at my house, and Ryan was my only guest. And at the time, I didn't know Ryan, so I'm thinking, great, my husband's at work, I've got this guy that just signed me up, he thinks I'm going to do so good, and I have no guests, what do I do with him? So I was like, you want some dinner? Like, I mean, I didn't even know what to do, I felt so stupid. And he was like, it's okay, it happens, you know? So then he comes to the next one, and I have no guests. By then, he was used to just having dinner at my house, hung out till my husband got home, we all kind of visited, did a little training, like... So what I want you guys to understand is it happens. But what they taught us was one of the things is that if you want people to show up at your PBR, only 20% of who you invite is going to sign up. Now, for me, when Ryan was telling me that, I was like, no, this is my family and friends. They're not going to dog out on me. I'm going to get more than 20%. I mean, let's at least say 70, 80%, right? No, the people that care or that know you and respect you or love you, they respect you the least. Trust me. And I've had a lot of family and friends that have realized that coming into this business because they did the same thing that I did. Oh, no, they'll show up. But it's my good neighbors. We've been friends for 12 years, and then they don't show, and then you're, like, heartbroken. It's like, these aren't my friends anymore. I mean, I've heard that a few times from my dad just the last week. He's like, I'm not talking to these people anymore. You know, I mean, he's like, I thought these were my friends. So what I want you guys to understand is no matter how good you think you are at selling or how close of friends and family you have, 20% is going to show up. So let's say this is my PBR. This is who I'm going to have. I'm brand new into the company, and I have 5 guests show up. I've had to invite more than 25 people for these 5 guests to show up, right? So that's what I really want you guys to focus on. Let's say that you have nobody on your team that's active right now. You are the only person. Obviously, we're committed. We're here at Super Saturday. But let's say you're starting your team from scratch pretty much. You're still trying to get people involved. From this, you've done your first PBR. I have 5 guests that show up. We're going to be able to duplicate this very quickly. You know, we're going to get up and do our first presentation. Now, chances are, how many people do you think out of this are going to sign up? Okay, 2 or 3. If it's mine, I have all 5. But, you know, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, so let's say I get 3. The other 2 have to go home and talk to their spouses because we get that objection all the time. So my last 2, go ahead and go sit down. I'm now left with 3 brand new associates. What I want you guys to focus on is when you're doing a PBR, it is not about how much money you're making this night, okay? And for me, that was a big thing. This was the first time I had heard that. And Brian Carruthers kept saying that. He's like, it's not about the money you're making right now. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you don't live paycheck to paycheck. You know, it's totally about the money I'm making right now. But it's really not, because if that's all we're focusing on, then this is what Brett and I used to do at the very beginning. We were like, cool, we just got 3 brand new associates. What do you want to do tomorrow? No, I just got 3 brand new associates. This is the time I need to be working harder and faster than what I had before. Okay, so it's now I have 3 brand new people, and what do I need to do to be able to get them to get going? So it's about setting up a PBR after PBR after PBR. I have 3 brand new associates that I now need to sit down today and work my list, work their list. You get Monday. Okay. Okay, we're good. It's Monday, so we'll do 1 more Monday night, 1 more Tuesday. You know, I've got it worked. So here's what I'm saying is you've got your people. Let's get their list that day. This is when they're the most excited. They haven't gone home and gotten the negative feedback from family or friends or neighbors or whatever it is. Now's the time to get them committed, okay? So sit down with them, make their list, and schedule a time. Pull out your planner and schedule a time to be able to do their PBR. Okay, so now in the next 2 or 3 days, I'm going to schedule their PBR. So each of you, let's say, go out and find 2 guests. They've now invited at least 10 or 12 people, but they're going to each get 2 guests. So go pick out 2 guests. Yep. Okay, so Doug, come over here with your guests. Judy, go ahead and come over right here with your guests. Okay, now remember when I started the week, Monday afternoon, with my first PBR? I didn't have anybody on my team that was ready to get going, so I had to invite my own guests to try to get my team duplicatable, right? Now, in my first PBR, I lost 2. They're still talking to their spouses. That's okay. We'll catch up with them in a little bit, but right now my week's full. So now I have 3 people that are ready to run. Now, these 3 people have set up their own PBRs. They've invited a ton of people, but they've only got 2 that are ready to commit, okay? How many people have I already duplicated on day 2 of my team? Okay, now these people, here's what's so important that I want you guys to understand, is my new associates that I signed up on Monday, I've got Doug and Judy and I've got Michael, these are not people that I'm just going to, okay, let's do a PBR and I'm going to keep doing it for them. I am a teacher and I need to teach them how to be a teacher. Otherwise, you're going to be doing what Brett and I have been doing for months now. Every Monday night, we have a PBR at my house. And that's all we were going. And every Monday night, I'd have the same associates show up at my house with a whole bunch of guests, and we started over every single week. It's about being able to teach other people how to be a teacher as well. So now I have Michael, Judy, and Doug that are not here just with their guests. They're here taking notes on how to hold a briefing. They're here on how to do a PBR. So they're taking notes on what I'm saying in the order of how I'm doing things, how I'm overcoming objections, whatever it may be, because they only get 1 more time before it's their turn to start helping with these PBRs, okay? So now I've got all these now new associates. Let's say I start with Tuesday. Here's my Tuesday luncheon, okay? Now I've got Ryan and Clancy who are new. They're on board. They're ready to go. We're going to hold a briefing the next night. So you guys, all 3, because now you need to find 1 more guest, all of you guys go out, and let's say it's a rough day, and you're only going to find 1. So each of you go out and pick 1 person that shows up to your briefing or to your PBR and that's ready to go. Okay, here's day 2. I'm going to focus 1 on them. You guys, your PBR shouldn't be more than 40 minutes, so you should very easily be able to do 1, let's say, at 6:30, and then maybe 1 at 8 o'clock. Okay, so you guys go ahead and go find 1. Maybe I've got the next day that I'm going to work with you guys. You 3 go out and find 1. And then let's spread down. Doug, why don't you take your team down here a little bit? Yeah, luncheon. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now here's this one. And then Michael, you take your team down here. You guys, I'm still in week number 1 of complaining that I have no associates that are ready to get on board. Okay? And I'm telling you that if you're getting out there and working, what did I start with? I started with out of my 5, I had 3 that were willing to do this. Then out of that, those three only went out and found 2. Then I narrowed it down even more that everybody was only willing to have 1. Now, look how many people. I've got 18 people on my team, and I'm the 3rd day into my week. Now, I'm not saying that every single night that we're able to get up and have a training or we can hold a briefing. I understand people have families, and they've got schedules, and they're doing it around their work schedule. But what if this was week 1, week 2, and week 3? That's 18 new associates that's brought on to your team, and you're not even a month through your first, or you're not even through your entire first month. What could this do for your income? And all we've done is PBRs. But see, now, because we've already done a couple, I've already got Doug, who's seen 2 or 3 of them. Okay, so now he's ready to start helping me. Because by now, I'm running myself ragged if I'm doing it all by myself. I'm not going to be able to show up to 18 PBRs every single week. But I've been very slowly letting Doug learn as a teacher so that he can get up and do it. And then now he brought on Ryan and Clancy. Well, now they've already been to at least 2. So now they're already learning. They've only got 1 more that they should have to sit through. Okay, so I'm very quickly being able to build other teachers. So that eventually, within the first month or 2, you should be able to be having at least 10 PBRs a week going on throughout your entire team. What would 10 PBRs a week do for your income? Okay, go ahead and sit down. Thank you guys so much. One of the first things that Brian Carruthers said to me was, or well, not to me, but to the team. I take it a little personal, I guess. But one of the first things that he said to me was, he says, the person that holds the pen at the front of the room is the person that makes the most money. Well, the problem is that about 2 months into this business, I figured out that I was holding the pen a lot. I'm very good at getting up and doing what I need to do and running as fast as I can. But the thing I really struggle with is being able to let go of some of that and be able to have other leaders be on my team. Because I'm so worried, what if they don't say it right? What if they don't do it? I could have closed that person and maybe they can't. I was panicking on all of that stuff and I wasn't creating other teachers so that my team would expand very, very quickly. Okay, it's not, after he said that, then he came back and he said, you know, you need to be the one at the front of the room. Meaning what he's trying to train us is to, you need to be comfortable getting up and doing a PBR. Now, you may not be comfortable enough to be able to go through a flip chart or, you know, the new boards that they showed us there or something like that, but anybody can be comfortable enough to push power and play. And that's what we have as a duplicatable system, is a DVD that you can welcome people, pop in a DVD, and close it out at the end. Okay? So it may not be that you're ready to give a presentation. It may be that you're still working those DVDs. But they've worked those DVDs to master it for 36 years, and if anybody can close them, that DVD is going to be able to. Okay? But then he said to me, or he said to the group, he said that the person that has the most teachers on their team is the one that makes the most money. And that's exactly right, because I heard, you know, I started picking up on all the leaders, every plane ride I was on, every event I went to, I was trying to figure out who the, you know, top income earners were so that I could kind of get a little piece from all of them. And one of the people that I rode on the plane home with, who did I ride home with? Patrick Shaw. I didn't know who he was, okay? So I'm trying to focus on my personal development, and because that's the one thing I've struggled with is reading, so I was like, okay, I'm not sitting by my husband, they had separated us, I'm like, now's a good time to focus on my reading. So I've got this man sitting next to me that's talking to the girl next to him and giving her all these tips, and I was kind of listening as I'm trying to read. I don't know who he is. I haven't been in very long, okay? And he says to her, I can show you how to get somebody to executive director in 4 to 6 weeks. So me being cocky and, you know, whatever, I turn to him and I'm like, executive director in 4 to 6 weeks? I'm like, no offense, but I've only heard one person do that. I wasn't like being very, and he's like, no, that's from director to executive director. So then I was like, oh, okay, well, what do you got? Let's hear what your tips are, you know, how to do it. Still not taking him 100% serious because I don't even know who he is until we get off the plane and everybody's asking to take pictures with him. Then I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I just blew this entire plane ride with somebody that everybody's taking pictures with, and I was too into my personal development reading that I couldn't even give him the time of day. I was like, wow, I'm blowing this. So I very quickly ran into the airport as quick as I could and wrote down every note. You know, obviously now I'm taking the 4 to 6 weeks in executive director a little more serious of what his steps were. But some of his steps were to be able to hold a PBR, to have at least 10 PBRs throughout your team every single week. Okay? That's obviously, like I said, that's not something you can do. But it's definitely something that if you start expanding your team and you commit to it, that you can be holding at least 10 or 12. I mean, you can very quickly get it duplicatable. Not only do you have PBRs, but you got our luncheons. You guys, we have three or four luncheons a week. I'm not saying you need to attend every single one of them. What if you can only pick up one or two? But the offer of having four of them every single week is because you and a few of your team members may be able to go to Tuesday, where maybe a couple others can go on Wednesday. It's not all about what you can do. That's why we earn those overrides, is to be able to duplicate what you're doing and have your team help you with it. Okay? So now how many of us, let's say we all go home and we make a list. What I would encourage you to do is, let's say you make a list of 5 or 6 people that you're going to try to get to a PBR, or maybe 10 because, you know, only 20% show up. But what if you invited 3 or 4 of your associates to do the same thing with you? And they invited some, and that's how you started your very first week with this PBR trial, is to be able to have 3 or 4 of you and your associates invite a couple guests and start your PBRs. Okay? Here's what you should be able to do. You should be able to get up and do your PBR or pop in the DVD, whatever you're comfortable with. Try to find somebody as one of your upline that can do the entire PBR and be able to watch them. You need to be able to watch them 3 times. So let's say you have your first three PBRs that you've set up. Let's say my upline's Ryan. So Ryan comes and he does the PBR for me three times. After I've watched that three times, it's now time for me to get involved. So now for the next two or three times of that of PBRs that we're going to be going to, I'm going to do the first half, and he's going to finish it up. Now the advantage having your upline do this is because it doesn't matter how bad you screw it up. It's his job now to come back, get the excitement back up, and cover any of those mistakes that I've now just, you know, done. So it's okay if you blow it. We're going to blow it, you guys. You're not going to be able to be perfect right from the very beginning. Okay, I can't even tell you what a disaster my first events were. It happens, but you're only going to learn by getting up there and screwing up. So get up there, screw it up, screw up the first half, and then he gets to come back and share the exciting part of the money anyways. He's going to build that excitement. Half of the time those people leave, they're not quite sure what they're selling anyways. They just want to be able to make that money. At least that's how I was. I was like, I can do this. Here's my comp plan. How do I move up? I mean, that's what it's about. Once you've once you've helped with two or three on the first half, now it's your time. You've seen that second half be presented five or six times. Now it's your time to take on the whole thing. You're going to be able to do the first and the second half. Let your upline sit through maybe one of them to be able to watch you, help you with any objections or anything, just to be there in case you have any questions. Once you've done that, now you're on your own. Now you're the teacher that's teaching other people. Okay, but how quickly within the next two or three months, how much is your team going to grow if that's how you approach it? And we've discussed nothing but PBRs. We haven't gone over the briefings. We haven't gone over our trainings. We haven't anything. Okay? Next is let's go over how to invite for these briefings. Like I said, if only 20% are going to show up, if you guys really want three or four guests there, you've got to invite at least 20 people to get those guys to show up. Now, I'm going to go over something at the end, but those people that don't show up, it's okay. They're just as valuable as the people that are there because we're going to be able to close them after the PBR happens, all right? But they said that when you're inviting somebody, instead of just calling your friends and just be like, hey, I've started this new business opportunity, can you help me with it? Or can you show up to my house? Or what are people thinking? You know what, my life is really busy, and yeah, I'll be there, and then something comes up, and no. You've somehow got to be able to get them involved, get them emotionally involved by being able to share your why. If I've got, let's say, Clancy, who lives two doors down from me, and I know that she works like crazy and she's got a couple kids and, you know, she's working full time, what would be a good why for her of why this business would work? It's not about the money right this second. They need to pay the bills, but it's about that time freedom. It's about being able to share time with your kids and not being overwhelmed with it. So now when I call her and I'm going to invite her to my PBR, I'm going to go over my why, but I'm going to try to interpretate my why to be able to relate to her. So I'm just going to say, you know what, Clancy, I found a business opportunity that I can do very, very part-time around my busy schedule, but do you know what I love most? Is it's going to give me time freedom to be able to spend with my kids. Wouldn't we love it if I could get you involved and we could start being able to go to lunch, you know, during the day with our kids, take them to the park and go to lunch, or be able to not be running ourselves ragged at work? You know, how does that sound to you? I'm getting her now emotionally involved on something that I know she struggles with. I know that she wants to spend time with those three kids at home, and she just doesn't have the time because she's got to work because they've got to pay the bills. Now when I just say, you know what, all I need is an hour of your time. You may or may not be interested, but for me, it's been able to give me some extra time to be able to spend with my kids, and I would love to involve you in this. Do you mind coming supporting me for an hour? Now it's not all about me. Now it's not, okay, I'm there for you. Now it's about, I've emotionally involved her, then now she's thinking, wow, something that could get me home with my kids more? Sure, I can give you an hour. Because now it's not, oh my gosh, I've only got an hour with my kids. No, I can't come. That's when I'm going to put my kids to bed. Now it's, yeah, I'm going to give you this hour because you're showing me how to make more time. Okay? It's whatever that person is that you're going to be talking to, try to find a way to get them involved. All right? So that's how we're going to invite people. That way you're going to have a lot better results of people showing up because now they're there to see what you can do for them. But I've already told her, if she's not interested, it's okay. I'm not going to try to hard sell my friends. These are people I have to see and relate to on a daily basis. I need to stay good friends with her. So it's okay if she's not interested. But at least I've kind of gotten her thinking that eventually, a couple months down the road, when she's like, how's that going for you? And I'm like, great, we just brought my husband home. Now it's thinking a little bit more. And it's going to, you know, until eventually she's going to start asking me about it. Okay? Now let's say we're into the PBR. How are we going to start this PBR? When your guests get there, because it is your PBR, you need to be the host. So if I've invited Ryan, my upline, to be able to come and present, I still need to be the host. This is a good way for you to start practicing of getting up in front of people and start moving along, okay? So I'm going to welcome everybody for coming. Thank them so much. I'm going to go over a little bit about my why. Why this business, you know, grabbed my interest level, what it is I'm interested in and what I think I can do with it. And if you've had any success at all, it may be your first PBR. So it may be just, you know what, I've seen great people be able to get home with their families, whatever it may be that's your why, and end with that. If you've had a little bit of success, you know, geez, my first PBR, I invited some friends over like this, made a couple $100s. This is really working out great. Whatever it needs to be, but welcome them, give them your why, and then any success if you've had any at all. Next, all you're going to do is invite up the expert. Your expert is your upline who has come to be able to help you and train you with this. You need to edify this expert like never before. Okay, they don't know him. If you're just like, oh, okay, Ryan, go ahead and come up here and do it, they're just like, who is this kid? Why, you know, what's so special about him? I need to let people know who he is. I need to let people know that this is how, you know, in 16 months he's been able to hit clear up, move all the way up our compensation plan, and he's now went from working $13 an hour to making a 5-figure, yes. 10-figure a month, yes. Okay, if you're the presenter and you're the host, then there's a very good chance that you've got a few associates there that are there listening to you to learn. Let them start with hosting. And if not, then just, you guys, I want to welcome you here. Here's what it's done for me. Here's my why, and start the presentation, okay? But I'm going to really edify Ryan to be able to make him sound like he walks on water, okay? Because he's there and he's helping you make money. He does walk on water today, okay? So that's exactly what you want to do, is make them sound amazing so that everybody else truly listens to what he has to say. And then I'm just going to turn the time over to him, okay? I'm going to let him do the presentation. Here's the biggest trick, and I found this a lot at my own PBRs, is that you start getting a few associates that come, and they're not quite comfortable enough to be up on stage, but they've seen it a ton of times, and now they start participating in the PBR. No, that is not your job. If you are in the seats with your new people that are here to hear it for the first time, you're here to hear it for the first time. You need to sit there with an interest level like you've never seen it before. Not slouch back in your chair or text messaging or falling asleep because you've seen this 12 times. It doesn't matter. Your interest level that you're showing to that DVD or to the presentation is what type of interest level they're going to show to the presentation, okay? So please be there, but be quiet. Be silent. That is your job, is to just sit there. Okay, now to be able to close it up, and then I'm done, I promise. I know I get going a little too much, but to be able to close it up, here's what I find. How many of us were here Thursday night or had a guest Thursday night? Raise your hand. Okay, good. We always end our briefings with, well, most of the time, I don't know how Thursday night went, but most of the time we end our briefings with A, B, or C, your interest level. We don't like to hard sell people, so just welcome or thank the person that brought you here. Let them know whether you're an A, B, or C, right? Then what do we always do? We turn to our guests and we're like, so what did you like best? What do you think? Are you interested? Half of us start reselling it again. You guys, that is not what we're there to do. That person that just got up at your PBR or at the briefing and they just went through the whole comp plan, membership, everything, they've done it. They've sold it. They're done. All you need to do is pull out an application and hand it to your person. You need to assume the sell, okay? Because if you don't, what's the worst that's going to happen? They tell you no? Okay, well, if you try to resell it anyways, they've already made up their mind on the no. They're going to tell you no anyways. But what I can tell you is that if you start reselling it and you're pulling out brochures and the comp plan and what did you like, what did you think best, you know, you're going all over these things. Now they're stopping to think in the back of their head, should I think about this for a little while? Maybe I better run this by a few people. I don't know if I really have the $249. No. Pull out an application and just say, okay, let's just start filling this out. Start filling out the information, okay? If they then have a question, maybe they're just like, well, wait a minute, so how does this work? You know what? Very, very quickly, briefly answer it and go right back to it. When they have a question about the product or the membership, here's what I normally do. I normally just say, you know what? That's why I'm so excited. Wednesday night, we have the best training by some of the top leaders in the company. If you will get here at 6:30, you will get all your questions answered. Now, where do you want your membership kit sent to? And I just keep right back to the application. Okay? Once I have that application done, here's where most of the people, they're just like, okay, well, see you later. We'll catch up with you. Hope to see you Wednesday, whatever. No, we just went over. This is the most important time because they are so excited right now. Now's the time to pull out your planner, pull out your information, and start helping them with their list and schedule a PBR. Then they're invested. Now it's time. They've already got an event planned, and they're already planning on bringing people. So now when they go home and get negative feedback, they're like, well, I've already scheduled something. I might as well just see if it works. We know it works, but they don't. They're not used to those no's. So you've got to do something to get them invested right from the very beginning, okay? Okay, last but not least is a PCC. I had never heard of a PCC before this convention, so that's why I'm telling you this stuff is so important. You're going to learn stuff all the time. But a PCC is a private conference call. What you're doing with the people that couldn't attend your briefing or your PBR, let's say I invited Ryan over as the expert, and Ryan doesn't have anything else going on that night, and he's willing to stay, or maybe he's just going to do a call with me after. If you go to freeconferencecall.com, you can get your own conference call number. So now, those people that couldn't attend your PBR, you're going to very rapidly start calling every single one of them after the PBR and just tell them, hey, I'm so sorry you couldn't miss it. I hope everything's okay. But I've actually gotten Ryan to be able to stick around. He's going to go over some stuff. You know, here's the phone number. Get on this call in a half hour. Give them the phone number. Now they get to do it from the comfort of their own home. You've already told them it's okay they didn't make it, so they're not now trying to avoid you and making things awkward. And about an hour after you've done your PBR, now you've got Ryan who's going to get onto this conference call, and you're going to start the same thing over as if it was in your house. You're going to welcome everybody, give them your why, give them your success, edify the expert, and let him take over for the rest of the call. Then after that, a lot of the times, instead of filling out applications, just tell everybody, hey, get in front of a computer real quick. We're going to walk you through how to sign up for a membership and an associate agreement. Now they're all already in the computer. Everything's done. Okay? So it's about being able to, the more people you invite, run through those numbers, because the more people that you invite and the numbers that you're going, those are the people that have the greatest success. It's not, wow, Ryan's so amazing. Why does he keep getting such great people? He's so lucky. Da-da-da. No. He's running more numbers than I am, and that's all it's about. So there's PBRs, there's PCCs, and let's just all go out and do them. I think that they could work really well.
We got sound here, too. Okay. I had so much fun at convention. You're going to hear it, you know, for the next months. You're not going to hear the end of it. I'm sorry. We just can't help it. We had a blast, and we learned so much. And you know, that was my third convention, and I came home, and every single thing, it seemed like every speaker that got up there, I was able to sharpen up something, and some things were totally new to me. I was like, wow, I can't believe I haven't been doing PBRs that way. Obviously, that's how it should be done, and obviously, that's going to help my business. And so me and Ms. Cook, Mrs. Cook, we're so excited about that. One of the highlight speakers that I wanted to talk about just real briefly was a guy named Mr. John Addison. We talked about him a lot, you know, already. You guys heard from some of the people that shared something. But that guy is such a ball of energy. He was incredible. And, in fact, in my notes, you're going to see everything that I wrote down on what he said. I had, like, 5 explanation points behind it because that's how he speaks. Every sentence that's coming out of his mouth, he's just screaming it. And it was just, it was such a blast to see somebody who just understands leadership. He understands success. And he has just been able to get through any type of adversity. In fact, he has a CD that's called Don't Listen to Anybody Who's More Screwed Up Than You Are. I don't know if you guys have heard that CD, but it's awesome. I want to just play the beginning of it so that you can get a taste of what I'm going to be going over here in a minute. Oh, we pulled it out. This guy, he was the keynote speaker for us at the executive director banquet. He was the speaker that they invited up.
I get up every morning and I'm scared to death. I'm full of all these fears. That I wake up and I go, man, look, I mean, all the people I report to at Citigroup above me, I promise you they ain't got an accent like mine, okay? When I go do the meetings in New York, they have to have like a translator there to like translate me. And I was not raised where I was supposed to wind up as a co-CEO of a company that makes $500 million a year, one of the large divisions of the largest company in the world. I was not supposed to have that happen in my life. And I wake up with all these fears and all these doubts and all these anxieties every day. I look at myself in the mirror and I go, my God, how did you ever stumble in and get yourself in this position? I mean, are you good enough? Are you smart enough? Do you know enough? Are you? And it's all those fears that are the same thing that's holding you in place in life and keeping you from doing something great. Let me tell you what I've learned. Winners have all the same fears. All the same doubts. Quite often, the bigger winner you are, the more insecure you are. I'm talking to you in that seat right now that's sick and tired of being sick and tired. Where you're sick and tired of every month having too much month at the end of the money. Where you work full time at a job just over broke. You want to go out and you want to fire your BOSS, which is double SOB spelled backwards. I'm talking to you today. See, I'm asking you real seriously right now to look at the last 5 years of your life. And if you don't do something different, the next 5 years are going to look just like that. Now, for many of you, that's a very depressing thought. See, I know where you are. See, you got to quit accepting what life offers. What life will offer you is being broke, being up to here in credit cards. You got to quit making excuses. For you in this room, it's time to win. It's time to do something different. You got to choose to go out and change. See, I believe with everything in me, success comes by choice, not by chance. People that win, it's not luck. They weren't just in the right place at the right time, although it does help to be in the right place at the right time. Okay, and you're here. See, you're spending your time over the next few days taking the courage to make a change, looking to do something different in your lives. See, you've done more than most people will ever do anyway. See, I believe you beat almost all the people by showing up, just by being there. I mean, most people never show up. You can beat them by showing up. I mean, you beat people way more talented than you just by showing up and getting better. The world needs excited, positive people and excited, positive environments. See, you've got to make a decision. You got to go back to your room later when it's quiet and you got to look at yourself in the mirror, the one person you can't lie to, and you got to say, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of being broke. I'm sick of making excuses. And you got to decide to win. God bless you, and I'll see you at the top.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. The entire weekend just was one talk after another talk like that, and they started giving us not just, you know the excitement about being serious about life, not just prepaid legal, but about life and what you're doing in it, but all the how-to from some of the best trainers that are in the entire company, all of the best, not some of the. I mean, they're all just right there. I had such a blast, and really one of the things that stood out to me was that 90% of the people's success in life, really, it's not the how-to. It's not the mechanism. It's the way you're thinking. It's the way that you wake up every morning. You know, what are you doing first things? Just a couple of the quotes that he said. and then I'm going to wrap up. But the economy is down. He said, the economy is down, things in life change. If you don't like change, life is going to be very rough. And he just talks about embrace change. Be excited about it. He said, the only scarcity is optimism and leadership. He said, I choose to be a leader every single day. I just remember, I was so amped up in my seat as I was listening. It was like, yeah, every day is not a perfect day, but he's a leader. And what did Jeff Olson always say? Do I have time to do what you're doing? Do I want to do what you're doing? That's a big one. Do I want to do what you're doing? And if people are looking at you, and how are you deciding to treat your day? You know, where's your energy? You know, are we focusing on the little negative thing that might not have gone our way? Or are we deciding to be a leader and knowing that people are watching us all the time and just enjoying life? And when you guys step into being a leader for your team, people want to follow you when you're just happy. He talks about that a lot. He said, success is a process, not an event. He said, there are just two things in life, results and excuses. I loved that one. That one, I mean, so many times in my life, I have pointed the finger at why things are going wrong and why things are the way they are until I realize there's results and there's excuses. I just need to figure out how to get my life in order. Winners fight and winners always prevail. He said, work hard every day. Everybody can get fired up for 15 minutes, but we need to work hard every day. My brother Rusty shared this, and I loved it, because when you get excited, you get a lot more excited getting a deposit every night. But you guys got to work first, you know, and that's why it stood out to me when Rob Vest said, there's nothing wrong with being excited, but that's not what's getting you paid. Work does. Consistency. And that's where your character comes out, is what you guys are going to be doing with this. I love John Addison. He said, be happy. He said, the greatest thing you can do for your business and your recruiting is just to be happy. Happiness must come from your soul. Whoever shared that, that hit me deep as well. You know, not your circumstances. If it is not there yet, then start acting the way you want to feel, and then soon you'll feel the way that you act. And so we just need to get there mentally. Stop waiting. I love this one. Stop waiting for your ship to arrive. Go get a boat and find it. You know, and I got to get something out of my bag here, but just everything that was shared this weekend. Michael Humes, I remember he got up. Oh, I found it. I know that I've pulled this out before, but, you know, this convention just made me feel like, you know, that's it. In fact, I think the very first CD that Bryn handed me was this John Addison CD. I was so fired up, I didn't even know what I was doing. But this was the first CD that I listened to in my car, was John Addison, this CD that I just played for you. And I was just amped. And Mark Brown, for me, that dinner last night was so impactful. Because here's a guy who's just humble and simple, making $4,000 a day. I mean, he's been consistent, and he stayed in the game. And he admits it. He's not going to dazzle you with his words. You know, he's just not going to do that. He is just consistent, and he stays in the game. And he shows that anybody can do this. Incredible. Now, when I got started in the business, maybe this was the first time some of you guys have seen this, but April talked about, you know, you treating this like your business, and you go out there and you do some activity. And for me, I still didn't know what I was doing, but I knew I needed to get people to events. You know, we can get people to a PBR, we can get them to a lunch, but all I knew is I started making a list. You know, I started making a big list. This is not just the hours of my day, and you know, I wasn't working at 3 a.m. in the morning, even though I have notes down there. But these are people that I started contacting, and I started, it doesn't make any sense when you look at this, even when you look at it and try to evaluate what I'm doing here, but this was just the way I was tracking my day, and the people that I was contacting, where I was spending my time, because I was so excited, I didn't know what to tell them, because I didn't know anything about the business at this point, but I started telling people about the business, and I just stayed active. Every week I started writing down a big list of names, and all I knew was get people to events. That's all I knew. So I made my list, and I started calling people. I started finding out how they were doing. If it wasn't comfortable for me to invite them to the event because I hadn't talked to these people in years, I didn't. Maybe I would. I'd write it down 3 weeks in the future. And I loved getting it back in touch with a lot of the people that I knew. But I just started going through my list, and I just continued to do that. And then when trainings would happen on Wednesdays, I would call every single one of my associates. They would hear from me. And some of them I'd start to recognize they weren't as serious as I was. And so, you know, I stopped calling them. But every single associate that told me they'd be at the next one, I put their name on my list to call next week. And I wanted people to get excited about the business and have the success. And at that time, I was acting the role. I wasn't making any money, but I was excited about what was about to happen. And it has happened for me, and my life will never be the same. And more importantly, it's been so exciting to see people, you know, that we've been able to work with that are having tremendous success. You know, and I just love listening to Mrs. Cook, you know, train. As somebody who's far beyond in her development in a lot of ways than I am. And to be taking notes from somebody that you're working with because the system works and because all she's doing is she's plugging into the system. And I absolutely love this company. And I wanted to leave on that and just turn the rest of the time over to Mr. Hall to tell you guys about our next Super Saturday that is not too far around the corner. So thank you guys so much for your time, and give it up for Mr. Hall.
All right. Can you hear me okay? Speaking of taking notes from people on your team, I could take notes on Mr. Burns all day long and never get sick and tired of it. That dude has kicked my butt up and down in the last year in this business, and I just think it's great. And yeah, I don't know if everybody really understands how privileged we are to have him here in the state. I mean, started literally just, you know, in 2007 towards the, you know, middle part, end of 2007. So really, you know, didn't have the seasoned leadership that, you know, a Darnell Self or Brian Crothers have after, you know, 15 years in the industry. But you out-recruited every single one of them. In 2008, finished the number 3 recruiter in the entire nation. I mean, it's crazy. People will fly in Super Saturday guests and spend thousands and thousands of dollars in airfare and hotel and gifts and meals and everything else like that that didn't do 25% of what that man did last year. And we have him right here in our marketplace. If you're not taking advantage of every single event that he's on stage at, you're not fully developed in this business. You're not leaning in 100%. I mean, this man, what he's accomplished here just has me in awe all the time. And on Wednesday nights, he's at the systems training, and he volunteers to take the new class almost every single week. Almost every single week, he volunteers to be in there. He would love to be on the other side of the room teaching advanced concepts. I mean, when you're the number 3 recruiter in the nation, you know advanced. But what does he do? He's the biggest servant leader you'll ever meet in your life. And he says, I'm going to take the new people. I want to take the new people again. And he goes in there. Talk about getting someone started right. The man knows how to do it. So, yeah. You know, words can't express how thankful I am to have someone like that in the state. I want to wrap up with a couple of things that they shared with us at the RVP meeting in Oklahoma City. They went through a few different stories. They asked the law firms, hey, in the tight economy, record foreclosures, record bankruptcies and stuff, they sent out an email to the law firms and said, hey, give us some stories, some experiences, and obviously with client attorney privilege and information, they can't reveal names or anything else like that. But tell us, how have you guys been dealing with the foreclosure market in your area, in your state? And I've got just story after story after story. I'm just going to pick a couple of them to just share real briefly with you what our law firms have done. Here's the law firm in Missouri. Our member had lived in her home for over 30 years. So this could be your grandma. She had fallen behind on her house payments, and a foreclosure sale was imminent. She was contacted by a company that offered in writing to stop the upcoming sale if the member entered into a payment plan with them. Obviously, she didn't have an attorney to review those documents. The member paid $1,200 as an initial payment as requested. Her second payment was refused by the company, and she came home one day to find a notice to vacate posted on her door. She called the judge, and she discovered that the house was in fact sold at a foreclosure sale. she was no longer the legal owner of the home. The attorney contacted the company and demanded a foreclosure sale but set aside as they had made fraudulent misrepresentations to our member. The company turned the matter over to their attorneys who immediately filed a cancel foreclosure sale. A well-known mortgage company entered into a loan agreement with our Missouri member. Our member attempted to make payments, but the mortgage company had lost the paperwork on the loan. By the time the paperwork was finally located, several other fees and expenses were charged to our member's account. He disputed these charges but continued to pay his mortgage. When he received the notice of foreclosure, he called the judge. The attorney worked as an intermediary between the member, the attorneys, and the mortgage company for the next 2 months, explaining the lost paperwork, the member's willingness to work out loan payments. After much resistance, our attorney was finally successful in canceling the scheduled foreclosure sale and keeping the member in his home, all at no additional fees. Here's one from right here in Utah. Could be somebody in this room. A prepaid legal member walked into our office at 4:45 on a Wednesday afternoon. She was a single mother and had her child with her, and she was in tears. She had gone to South America for 3 months and sublet her home to a friend. The friend failed to make the mortgage payments as promised. When our member returned home to Utah, she found that her home was going into foreclosure and the mortgage payments were 3 months delinquent. She borrowed the money from another friend in order to bring her payments current. The friend paid the money directly to the bank. However, the bank incorrectly credited her friend's account with the payments, so our member's mortgage was still delinquent. The member had a letter from the bank with her that told her she had until 8 p.m. that day to call the 1-800 number and bring the mortgage payments out of the delinquency or the home would be sold the following day at a sheriff's sale. She'd been speaking with the bank all day trying to straighten out the matter, but there was a language barrier and she could not make the bank understand the situation. Our credited, our attorney spent an hour on the phone with the bank until they found the accounting error and credited the member's account so that her mortgage payment was no longer delinquent. Now remember, this started at 4:45 in the evening when she walked into the law firm. The bank representative promised the attorney she would have the corrected paperwork on his desk by Friday morning. The attorney told her that was not good enough because the sheriff's sale was set for Thursday. He demanded that the corrected accounting be faxed to him by 8 a.m. the next morning. Sure enough, by 8 a.m., the correct accounting was on the attorney's desk and the foreclosure sale was stopped. Our member was very grateful. Last one. This is in Mississippi. Our member's house in Mississippi, which was valued at $125,000, was sold on the courthouse steps on July 31st, 2008. Pursuant to the Mississippi Nonjudicial Power of Foreclosure Sale and Procedure, once a sale occurs in Mississippi, the ability to redeem the property is extinguished. The member contacted the firm 3 weeks after the sale and spoke with one of our attorneys. The attorneys for the mortgage company had already started the eviction process against our member. After consulting with the member, the attorney asked the member to send him all of the foreclosure documents as the facts seemed to suggest the mortgage company had acted in bad faith. It appeared that I don't know what that legal word is. I'm going to say it's supposed to be suit, probably a typo, for wrongful foreclosure due to the continued bad faith was a remote possibility. Given the facts presented, after review of the submitted documents, the attorney sent a letter to the attorneys for the mortgage company approximately 4 weeks after the sale, threatening to sue for wrongful foreclosure. The attorneys advised they would contact their client about this matter and halted the eviction process against the member while they investigated. The attorneys then contacted their client and the mortgage company, and the mortgage company reversed their position and is now giving our member the opportunity to submit workout documents to restructure the loan. Now, are there plenty of stories out there where people contacted, you know, the law firm after they were in default 3 weeks, a month, 2 months or something like that, and they had signed legal documents, and after reviewing them and looking at all the legal loopholes out there, there might not be an answer for us. Of course there are. Does that mean the service doesn't work? No. That just means sometimes we sign things we don't fully understand and we get in a situation where the law has to take its course and run its course. But I mean, they have just dozens and dozens of stories in there of people who, just using a lot of times Title I, simply called in, had a letter sent. Next thing you know, the mortgage company or the bank or something like that said, you know what, we don't want this to turn into a legal issue. We're willing to compromise. We're willing to work something out. Kept the member in their home, forgave, you know, delinquent fees and attorney fees, and worked something out. And in today's economy, when we're at an all-time record foreclosure, all-time record bankruptcy, you know, the unemployment rate is rising every single day, can you think of a bigger need in the history of 37 years that this company has been around, a bigger need than what we have literally right now? I mean, to sit there and listen to Mr. Brown's story last night at dinner, and I guess that's just a lesson. You know, Jim Rohn always says, never miss anything. We all went to the dinner last night thinking, that's cool, we get to hang out with him again tomorrow and learn from him, then go to dinner afterwards and hang out and learn more stories. And some of you showed up there and you got your Profiles of Success books and you got them signed last night thinking, oh, it's not that big of a deal, maybe I can do it tomorrow. And we're never promised tomorrow. Never miss anything. We got pearls of wisdom. And to hear his story about starting out in a licensed state where you had to go get a property and casualty license to sell prepaid legal, and think of how hard it would be to start the business. And yet, within 10 years, his income was up, you know, over $30,000, $40,000 a month. With all the restrictions on it. Without the financial credibility that we had. Without the bad economy fueling it and no identity theft protection. And a compensation plan that only paid 62% of what it pays today. And yet he still makes over $1 million a year today with all of those obstacles that are now gone. Where are you going to be in 10 years? Starting from this point moving forward. Crazy. It's just such an uplifting thought to think, man, if you made it with all of those obstacles, where am I going to be? 5 more years, 10 more years down the road with what we have in front of us. And I get to introduce the gentleman coming next month. This gentleman went from brand new associate to executive director in 74 days. This gentleman is a $250,000 ring earner. That means he makes somewhere between $250,000 and $500,000 a year in this business. This gentleman used to run the state of Utah years ago, was one of the pioneers to help paved the way early on in this business. It would be none other than Mr. Tony Hughes. We have a quick video clip we're going to show you real quick. His Profiles video. Is it keyed up, ready to go? Is it playing on your end? We do have a video. We'll watch it, but...
Tony and Marcia Hughes.
Welcome to our new home in Oro Valley, Arizona.
Why don't you guys come on in?
We moved here 3 months ago, and Tony actually came here 2 years ago to work with an associate, and he came home and said, we're moving to Arizona. And I went, okay. And he actually even told my family, and they'd come up to me and say, Marcia, are you moving? No. Just
listen,
let him talk. He'll get through it. And so he didn't. He just kept talking about it for a year. And I said, okay, if we're going to move there, you better take me there to see if I like it. So he flew me here in the fall. It was about a year ago. And I loved it. And then we kind of were preparing our younger kids. And so we brought them here in the spring. They were excited. They actually came in this home and were pretty happy. And they said, if we move to that home, then we'll let you move. And so,
they like the swim-up bar. Yeah. That's what they wanted.
right now, we're in actually our family room. We love this room, the tall ceilings. We love our entertainment center that holds our big screen and all of our stereo equipment, some of our leadership books over there. And this is one of the things we really love about this house. It's kind of the centerpiece. It has our wine closet, kind of a butler's pantry, lots of water. We get thirsty here in Arizona a lot, so we stock it full. And just a beautiful iron door that was built in with the home. Very heavy, heavy door. And if you'll follow me over here, I'll show you our formal, kind of, this is our living room over here. And we feature some of our antique pictures here of our family members, my great-great-grandmother and great-great-grandfather. And one of the things that's really nice about this particular room is just the painting that's on the wall. It's really, if you were to feel this, it's very, kind of feels like a leather material. And of course, we're very excited about the warm fireplace because, you know, it gets freezing here and down in Tucson, Arizona, Oro Valley, and so we're excited to be able to kick that baby on.
This house was only 2 years old, and it was custom, and she had a decorator in here that painted the walls a lot like we had some of our walls painted at home that I just love, and she had all the things already done, and I knew once we moved in here, we wouldn't have to change anything, and that was another plus, so we could just add our things and our touches to it.
Welcome to our master bedroom. Come on in. This is one of our favorite rooms in the home. Of course, our bed, and we have our fireplace here just in case it gets cold here in the wintertime in Arizona. My wife's got her favorite place in the home here, her little getaway.
This is my little retreat where I can just come in here and watch some TV or read a book. Just enjoy myself. This is another favorite room in my home. This is my big kitchen, which I love the size of. I can have four or five people in here helping me fix dinner, and we don't bump into each other. I love the granite countertops and the stainless steel matching appliances. I like how they integrated the stone under the bar to match the rest of the home. This is really my dream kitchen. I love it.
It's a big kitchen, the biggest kitchen we've ever had.
There's lighting everywhere, and I just like that at night to turn on all the little different lights under the cabinets, and it feels peaceful, and I have just absolutely loved it.
I love the backyard. The putting green is kind of one of my favorite parts. We have a really nice putting green with two chipping areas where I can actually get the pitching wedge out, and the kids love that. I like the cabana in the backyard. It's fun. There's a big barbecue with rotisserie, and there's a big ice chest and refrigerator, and there's a sound system out there with a big Sony television. And so when I entertain, you know, people can come down and they can actually swim up right to the bar, and that's just a fun aspect. I like the waterfall in our backyard. Just be able to sit back there and just kind of do a little bit of chilling and have that beautiful sound of the waterfall. Sometimes I'm even in the pool, and it's funny because people will hear water splashing, and they'll say things like, what's that noise in the background? I go, well, oh, it's just a little bit of water. And they go, where are you? And I go, well, I'm in the pool, and you're hearing the waterfall that's kind of splashing. I'm sorry I didn't turn it. You're in the pool on a floaty with a waterfall going on? And yeah, I'm sorry. But it's just kind of fun to be sitting out in the pool.
You know, one of the nice things about prepaid legal and working hard and building a nice team is you get to be able to go out and buy a nice car. And so we went out, bought me a new Infiniti QX56, sitting on some 20s. I love this car. It's got the backup camera, navigation, Sirius satellite radio, pretty much everything I need. And then we saw the new Chrysler 300C, and my wife fell in love with this car. It's black and chrome, so we're kind of twinners. I think you like it.
It's got a Hemi in there. That's all you need to know.
What I'm really excited about, though, is about a year ago, my brother Chris, his wife actually picked him up a brand new car. And so my wife was kind of feeling bad for me, and so she actually got me a new ride. You know, I'm sorry to one-up my brother Chris with a 745 IL, but
I had to do it. Thanks, honey, for the new ride. I appreciate it. I love it. It's sweet.
Okay, so here's the deal. It's mom and me against you guys.
We have 5 children now. Our oldest son is Todd. He's 20 years old.
He's in Utah right now. Todd is, he actually is in prepaid legal. He's a director with 3 directors. He was gung-ho, was coming to all the meetings, and he was very excited about it. He's kind of...
found out what girls were.
He's kind of a red personality, like Tony, but a little bit more laid back than Tony. Todd loves to snowboard. He loves to be with friends. He just has always been that way. I'm going here, I'm going there. He just has always liked to be around friends. Trey is 18 years old. He just graduated from high school in the spring, and so he's still in Utah too. And he's going to college right now.
Prepaid legal associate.
He's a prepaid legal associate that I think he's been to one meeting maybe. So we just made him an honorary prepaid legal associate. If you've ever taken those color tests, the one where the yellow is pure fun, he took one of those in high school. He was all yellow.
100%. He's put on life
to have fun. There was, I think, one tiny thing in there that was blue where it's the sensitive side of him. So he's just fun to be around. Everybody loves to be around Trey. Haley is our next one. She's 15. She's a sophomore here in high school. And she is very driven, always has been a great student. She is another one that always likes to be doing something. She's not content to just sit around and watch television. She wants to be going. She belongs to, I think, 3 clubs. She wants to be with friends all the time. She is daddy's little sweetheart.
She cannot do anything wrong, and anything she wants, she just needs to ask her daddy.
She knows it. She knows it. And then we have Tate, and he's 12 years old. And Tate just is a joy. He's
a platinum 24 in training. He's got a great personality. He makes friends like that. People love him. His friends love him. And he is a passionate skateboarder. He lives to skateboard. Just a fun, fun kid.
The other day he asked me, Mom, what are your dreams for me? And I just told him, I just want you to be happy. I want you to be happy in whatever you do. I want you to be a good husband and a good father, and that will make me happy. So I thought that was pretty insightful for a 12-year-old.
Savannah.
And then our little baby is Savannah. Savannah is definitely my little girl. She's a mini-me, and she loves me, but she's very driven, like Tony. She gets really good grades, doesn't want to make any mistakes.
She's a perfectionist, is what she is.
She plays the piano, and she takes gymnastics as well, and she is also just loves to play with friends, just loves to be around people, loves to be around her brothers and sisters, and loves to be able to do anything with us.
You know, it's just priceless to be able to spend the time with my 5 kids. There's not another dad that I know that gets to spend the kind of quality time with their children. I mean, be able to walk our daughter to the bus stop every single day, be able to walk our son to the bus stop, go to all the football games, you know, attend the piano recitals, the gymnastics meet. I've got DVDs stacked to the ceiling of all the wonderful events that we've been able to spend with our children. And if it weren't for the network marketing industry and prepaid legal services and the team that we've developed, the leaders that we've developed, none of that would be possible. Once you get to know me, you know that I'm from Texas, and I've got a heart about that size, and I care deeply about our people. And so the more people get to know me, the more they know that, you know, that I'm a very passionate person, very emotional person. In fact, it's funny, we have a saying in the Hughes family, there's 2 things you can't do. You can't outpopulate us, and you can't outcry us. And so, you know, our team, once they get to know us, they know that my emotions run on the surface and that I love people. And there's nothing more that drives me than to see people come from, you know, poverty to having success. That motivates me more than anything. We have the sad days when we meet people that become our very good friends, and over the years, for whatever reason, they kind of fade away. But the one thing that people can always count on from Tony and Marcia Hughes is that at the end of the day, we're going to be here for you. We're going to always be here. You can always count on us, and you don't have to worry about us going anywhere. You know, one of the things that we believe in the Scripture says where there is no vision, the people perish. And so one of the things we like to do is give our team a vision of what hard work is all about, and helping people and staying with the game, and just having that, you know, I will not be denied attitude. And so we'll have lots of parties at our house. We really enjoy that. And I think it's important, very important, to let people come and see the kind of lifestyle that we have. And when they see the vision and they see what's possible, if they'll just follow in our footsteps, if they'll just put people through the systems and follow Mr. Stonecipher and listen to what the company says, they can have this too. They can have this and a lot more. In fact, we challenge everybody on our team. We want everybody on our team to have a bigger house, to have nicer cars, you know, to have more freedom, because we just know the rewards that come from that type of activity. If our team is excelling and succeeding, then we know that the compensation plan is going to reward us too. And so I just love that part about the business. Once you've served enough people, once you've helped enough people, like Zig Ziglar said, you know, if you help enough people get what they want in life, you'll get what you want in life.
Okay, well, this is how the Hughes do it in Arizona. We've really enjoyed showing you around Tucson and our lifestyle and our home. Prepaid Legal has done all of this for us and can do the same for you.
All right, let's go finish up the last two holes. You have a lot of catching up to do.
Oh, all right.
All righty. Is my mic on? All right. Mr. Hughes is going to be here for the entire week. So, I mean, we're going to have him running from luncheons to briefings to trainings, literally every single day. So that week of April 11th, you're going to want to plug into the state calendar and see what you can do. And when you saw, you know, Ms. Cook's training on, well, if you have just three people, but you do this event at lunch and then this event in the evening, what if you just plug people in and you didn't have to do the event? He did all the events for you, but you took home all the benefits from that. I mean, there are some people that will utilize, put him to work, and during that week, they'll add 20 to 30 new associates on their team in that week alone, simply because not they did any presentations, they just plugged into the system that was already in place and just simply rode the wave. Another thing that we weren't going to mention, but we will, there are flyers, I believe, back at the tool table if you want to participate. Mr. Hughes, he's not on my team. You know, we're sidelined, Tony Hughes and I, but he lives in Arizona, and we had an event we are doing down there June 25th, 26th, and 27th. That Mr. Darnell Self is coming in. It was kind of a leadership retreat. Darnell Self is flying in for 3 days to do some personal mentoring with some of our associates. And Mr. Hughes asked, well, can I, you know, bring my team and plug into this event? And so we're like, okay, you know, we got the whole resort booked for our team. You know, just come on up. And then Larry Smith down there, who's the RVP, found out that we had not only numerous ring earners, numerous millionaire club members, Mr. Darnell Self, and a few other leaders that said their company's like, well, the state of Arizona would kind of like to plug into this and maybe turn the time into like a super Saturday or a super regional or something like that. And I know that many of the leaders in the state of Utah are going to be headed down there. It's for all 3 days, it's $95. Today is the absolute last day, though, that you can get that price. There's registration forms back there. I contacted the people that are doing our tickets for the event. I said, look, I got a few people on my team that they're going to be there, but the price is going to be going up to $155, but they just don't have it on a credit card or bank account today. But we're going to sell some memberships this week, and we're going to make it happen. They said, look, if they fill out their form and they put process on, they can back it up to 30 days. So they can fill out the form and say, today is the 28th. So up until April 28th, anytime between now and then, say, hey, I don't get paid until the 14th of April or whenever it is, they can say, look, process after this date up to 30 days. We'll fax them in, and they will hold your spot at that price and then process it after the date that you put down here to process and get your ticket. But for those of you that got to see Mr. Darnell Self at a convention, I mean, whatever price it costs to hang out with him. I mean, can you imagine having dinner and hanging out in the pool and stuff in Arizona? The resort has a big water park and everything else like that. I'm taking my whole family, wife, kids, everything. It's going to be an absolute party down there. It's going to turn into basically a super regional because so many leaders now are hearing about the people that have already committed, and others are asking, hey, can we bring our people into it and stuff also? So if it was something you wanted to attend, great. Super Saturday tickets for April 11th. And do you want to make sure that you qualify to go to dinner with him on the 10th? So we'll, you know, make sure, hey, look, there's a caveat. Players Club people are always invited to come to dinner, and we may run a promotion, we may not. It all just depends on what's going on between now and then, but you want to make sure that you're qualified for that. Tickets, $20 for the entire event with Mr. Hughes on April 11th. For those of you that would like to get one ticket free, if you buy four, you get the fifth one free. Keep in mind, we are still keeping track of everybody that's in the running for the cruise. And we have some brand new people here. They're like, what's that? We're giving away a cruise that's in the wintertime. All the execs go to Mexico on a cruise, all expenses paid. And we're taking one couple with us, all expenses paid. And here's how you qualify for the cruise. You have your name in the jar. For every ticket that you buy to a Super Saturday event, you get a ticket with your name in it in the jar. You simply have more tickets, you increase the odds of going. So the tickets will be available out front at the registration table. I want to thank everybody for being out here today, and we will see you guys all this next week at the events. Have a great day.